Hello and welcome again to the Wide World of Wargaming Age of Sigmar podcast. As always, I am your host Alex Gonzalez with my co-hosts John and Garrett. We got a lot to talk about today, and thank you for your patience as we were unavailable for last week. So, you know, you had to wait 1 week for a recording, but we got a lot to talk about as we are going to dive straight into our experiences with Nova Open, the 10th anniversary of Nova Open. To start off, as you usual. Garrett, what is on your workbench?
Not a whole lot right now. I have ended my long summer sprint of tournament attendance, and so I'm kind of taking a small break right now. I got a friend of mine painting up a Sylvaneth army for me, and I'm kind of just sitting around waiting to see how these next couple of releases go before I kind of jump on to any new changes to any armies or anything. So a lull in the hobby time for me. Otherwise, I just got a nice glass of water here and just taking it easy tonight. What about you, John? What do you got going on?
Hey, how's it going, Garrett? Well, first off, on my workbench here, I have a fine glass of the Thumbprint Distilleries Ain't Your Papa's Grappa, bottle number 12 out of 100. And that's just a little something light that I poured this evening because unlike you young bucks, who I'm sure are fully over your Nova experience, it's barely been a week for me, and I am just barely recovering, I tell you. I did a lot of drinking, a lot of gaming, and it was hot and muggy as heck out there in Virginia, so had a lot of fun there. I myself, since I've been back, have started work, not AOS related, but I am building some Primaris Marines for my Ultramarines force, and beyond that, last week was the first week of the new AOS league in our local area, ran by Sunny Wynn. And for this next league, I'm actually going to take a little bit of a break from my Skaven. I've been going pretty hard at them since the Battle Tome came out. And, you know, I have a really, I wouldn't say a large, but I have a pretty good sized Eidneth Deepkin army that is about 2/3 painted. And when I say 2/3, that means that every single model has about 2/3 of the paint it needs and none of them are finished. So I'm going to use the opportunity of this league to go ahead and finish painting those. So you'll probably hear me talking about and posting some pictures of my Eidneth over the next few weeks here. So that's pretty much what's on my current workbench. How about you, Alex? What have you been up to?
Oh, man. Well, yeah, you are right. My youthful vigor did lead for me to have a proper recovery just a few days later after Nova. However, yeah, I do not have any sort of alcohol on my workbench as it is just important for me to cool off and take it easy right now. I also do not have any Age of Sigmar on my actual workbench itself. Right now I'm looking at two Armigers and three Chaos Knights that I'm building up still. Got a Cerastus Castigator on the way, and going to have quite a bit to build to build a fun little 40k army I'm going to have as a side job or a side activity. I'll either win big or lose big, but I'll probably lose big. So it'll be something to play to hold me over there. And yeah, that is basically all that I have going on. However, you know, we do want to take a look and dive in, and I'm sure our listeners are real interested to see what our thoughts were from Nova, and we are going to with Nova just behind us. It is you know, it was a great event. It was a lot of fun. It was my birthday weekend, so my twin brother did come down from Brooklyn to hang out and have fun and take a look and see what we were all doing. So that was a really great time. And you know, there was a few events that we had talked about in our previous episode regarding all the events that Nova had in store for Age of Sigmar, and everything from a kids event to a narrative event, a narrative mega battle we saw, which had a huge wall in the middle of several tables. It was crazy. But of course, there was the GT and the RTT. You know, with the RTT, it was a really fun event. It was hosted and organized by our good friend James O'Brien, who played a pretty major role in the Age of Sigmar portion of things for Nova Open, just in general. You know, I played three rounds. It was great to hang out with new people, have a good time. Garrett played one round, but I'm sure he had loads of fun in that one game he had. Garrett, how did you think of that first day?
Well, going into this event, I was a little stressed out because I was running a lot of things throughout the event, doing admin and tech support throughout the event. So I was going in knowing that if I wasn't going to do well, I was probably going to drop and just relieve the stress. And I got matched up against a real cool guy, a local out here, Rob Pro, and he's been playing Grimghast Spam since Grimghast Spam was Grimghast Spam. And he continued to bring 60 Grimghast Reapers. And the mission he, his army was better at, it was Scorched Earth. So I did not fare well and decided to just relieve the stress and drop.
Perfect. Well, you know, it was right before John graced us with his presence. So John did not go to the first day, but, you know, it was a really good time. And again, thank you, James, for running the event. If he is out there listening, he has been a guest at least a handful of times here. But then we did go on to that main event. And, you know, with that, I think we've all talked in some sense about the list that we were going to bring and what we were going to prepare. When it comes to my list, I did bring Pure Nighthaunt for our listeners. You know, we've talked about it in length about how a few of us, Jeremy and myself primarily, do believe that Pure Nighthaunt run well and built within a proper way can sometimes be more competitive, if not just as competitive, as a Legion and a Gash. And especially if you can, you know, play the missions to your advantage. You know, I brought the typical for myself, Dreadblade Harrow, Rykonor, Lady O, Spirit Torment, and a Guardian of Souls. Then after that, it was Min Battle Line of Rasps, the Shroud Guard Battalion, and a big unit of Herodons to wrap things up with the Cogs. John, what was the list that you decided to bring to Nova in particular?
Sure, Alex. First of all, I want to mention, I too had a great time at Nova. As you know, I flew in on Thursday, so I came in right at the end of the RTT, so didn't really get to participate, did get to see some of the armies that were out on the table. And more importantly, I did get to meet your awesome brother, so that was really kind of the highlight of my weekend, hanging out with you guys with your birthday and all that. It's funny, you may or may not appreciate this, but as you know, your occasional nickname might be All Caps Alex, and if that's the case, then your brother is appropriately capitalized Alex. So that aside, as far as the running the list that I brought, you know, a few things came into play for me. One was that the Nova was going to penalize you kill points if you took a command point, and you were also going to get penalized kill points if you didn't have any endless spells that were part of your army and they weren't on the table at the end of the game. So I went ahead and designed a list with no command points and no endless spells, which is very different from what I normally run. So here it is. I basically brought the Gray Seer on the Screaming Bell. I gave him the Master of Magic for +1 to cast. And under the Lore of Ruin, he took Death Frenzy. I also brought a Vermin Lord Warbringer. And I brought the Vermin Lord Warp Seer, and I gave the Warp Seer the artifact, the Snout Grovel Robes. So much as the bell and the furnace that gives whoever wears it a 13-inch bubble of immunity to battle shock. So I was rocking 3 13-inch bubbles of battle shock, and then with a command point, I could always pop the Warp Seer's ability to go to a 26-inch bubble. And then finally, I had a Plague Priest on a Plague Furnace. For my battle line, I had a block of 40 clan rats, 20 clan rats, another 20 clan rats. And then I brought the famed and much maligned Plague Monks. I had 2 blocks of 40 Plague Monks. So I was basically dropping 160 rats on the table with 4 big monstrous creatures for exactly 2,000 points. No triumphs. no command points, and no endless spells. And, you know, I brought this list in. Part of it was my ability to pack it, so I packed it in my KR multi-case. And when I was there on Friday, I got a chance to play a game against my co-host, Alex. Only the second time Alex and I have ever rolled dice against each other. And our first game we ever played was in 40K. It was super, super close, but Alex, with his superior generalship, was able to win that game. And once again on Friday, we had an amazing, amazingly close game. But my bloodlust was up, and Alex paid attention to the mission, and he won by a few points. So a great game. What do you think, Alex? Was that a lot of fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was really close. You know, it was one of those things where, you know, sure, I might have played the mission, but I definitely overextended myself in the first two turns, which, you know, later on you will find out that these are the primary reasons why I do lose. overextending myself, say turn one, is usually the thing that ends up making me lose a game. And very quickly you took it. Full advantage of it. And I think that in a way, in a roundabout way, it ended up winning me the game, just as you mentioned. I overextended, realized that I tripped up, didn't want you to get bloodlust. You absolutely had bloodlust. You had it, the scent of blood was in the water for you. You ran forward, munched up a bunch of my units really quick in the next two turns, and then I was able to just start just playing the mission because I couldn't play to kill you. So, yeah, it ended up being a really narrow game. I wouldn't say that it was me, you know, winning decisively, but really just kind of squeaking it out at the last minute.
Oh, yeah, it was a fun game. It was very dicey at the end there. That little tangle at the forward right flank that we had, exchanging units back and forth, where Lady O was involved. That was definitely a very, very tight, very tactical sort of maneuvering in combat there.
It was dicier than I would have liked.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Perfect. Well, you know, for day one, you know, that was, you know, or in preparation for day one, of course, that's definitely a great list for you to bring to the table. And I'm glad we were able to get that practice game, especially again if for mission number one, which was Knife to the Heart.
Oh, but yeah.
Garrett, what did you bring? And how was your day one, actually?
For the RTT?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I brought my same War Games con list, so Legion of Knight with 90 skeletons, 20 Grave Guard, 10 Black Knights, Death March, and some heroes, White King, Karen Wraith, Necro, and Arc Regent. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, it was a game of Scorched Earth versus 60 Grimghast Reapers, and Grimghast Reapers hold objectives much better than skeletons, and Rob did a great job at zoning out any of my ability to outflank. And so it became a war of attrition, and he pushed harder and was able to secure the was able to burn two of my objectives turn two, and I wasn't able to get any great pushback on him, and so it didn't go so well for me, and decided to concede and move on to a much less stressful day of running admin for the rest of the weekend and tech support. So, yeah.
Good. Good. Now, you know, when it comes to the day one as a whole, you know, I'm glad that you were able to get some games in, right? John, how was your day one?
Sure. If we're talking about the AOS grand tournament at this point, then I had a pretty amazing day one. I tell you what, I came into the Nova not really expecting to win or do well or anything, you know, travel, not playing the core army I do, all that good stuff. But I did come to have fun, did come to meet some good people, cool people. So day one started off very nicely for me. I was actually able to get a reasonable amount of sleep on Friday night. It wasn't that bad, I guess. And luckily, the East Coast timing thing kind of worked to my advantage. But first round, day one, was against Douglas Taylor and his Stormcast. Great guy. And then I will tell you, day two, my second round was against Mr. Joshua Keel and his corn. And I'll tell you what, that corn army of his, pretty nasty. I'll come back to that in a second. And then my third round was against Andrew Simmons and his Nurgle Demons. An amazing painted army. Definitely one of my favorite, funnest games of the day was against Andrew. But I got to mention my game against Joshua. This is a game... Ah, man, this is a list that really, I have not been caught out like this without knowing what to do on the table in a whole long time. So Josh was bringing a classic corn list. He brought the Gore Pilgrims. He had some Blood Reavers. He had a Bloodthirster. He had three corn skull cannons. And as you guys know, my wife plays corn, so I confuse myself and think that I know something about corn on occasion. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. But when Josh put this army on the table against me, I said, okay, I see what's going to happen here. He's going to shoot at me a little bit. He's going to charge all that forward, and then he's going to try and take this objective from me. So basically, I set up a nice defensive castle. I had layers of bubble wrap. Protected my characters. Everything was solid. You're going to have to chew real hard to get through that. And I was ready, and I sat there, and he gave me the top of the turn, and so I put all my buffs up and repositioned things and made my castle even stronger. And Joshua just sat in his deployment zone on his objective. He threw out a bunch of nasty, endless spells and stuff, so my army was minus... Oh, excuse me. My
army was... Judgments of Corn.
Excuse me, Judgments of Corn. Yes, you are correct. He had the nasty Judgments of Corn, and that's really what came into play. So he put the nasty Judgments of Corn out, and I was minus two to cast. I had to re-roll successful casts, and if my successful cast was a natural eight, then I also had the chance to lose one of my spells permanently, and I think I took some mortal wounds at that point as well. That worked in an odd way against me. I told you, I've rarely played an army where I didn't know what to do, but he put those judgments in there. And of course, I couldn't dispel them. I couldn't do anything about them. And Korn's favor was on him, so they just kept staying there. And my mistake was, once those judgments were in my castle, is I was worried about how can I position my things to keep those from staying in range of my wizard so I can get my magic phase back. But that's what lost me the game. What I honestly should have done in this game was said, oh, that's right, I don't have a magic phase, but you know what? I have 160 rats and four big old monsters, and just ran my entire army hell-mell into his lines and just gobbled everything, buffs, no buffs, done it with all command points, and you know what? I probably would have done pretty well. Not saying I would have guaranteed a win, but I probably would have done pretty well. Instead, folks, I sat in my castle for 3 turns, 2.5 turns before I even considered moving. At the third time I came up, I'm like, you know what? He's not coming after me. And if I do nothing, he's going to get a minor win on kill points. So I started to move out of my deployment zone. There just wasn't enough time left in the game. And I will tell you, Joshua, kudos to you, sir. You played your army well. You have an excellent army. It looked beautiful, and you definitely played me on the tabletop, and a well-deserved win. It is worth noting that, what is that? Was that the AOS Tactics? The Honest Wargamer, excuse me, actually has a review of his list from last week, if you guys want to check that out as well. So that was my day one. Hey, Garrett, I know that you weren't playing in the GT day one, but tell me a little bit about what you were up to on day one.
So day one was my big day of being a judge for the Age of Sigmar tournament. So I helped out a lot with the admin side of it, making sure that the app was running smoothly, that they're getting all the data entered, helping set up all the settings, and then bouncing around to many of the other events around the con. I was hanging out at Kill Team. I was hanging out at 40K, checking in with Malifaux. Nova has a very interesting structure where they have a core admin staff that runs the convention itself, and then they have a bunch of volunteer TOs that each have a lot of autonomy when they how they want to run their event. And so each event is kind of like being run in its own like independent way. And so they're all done very individually. And so I got to interact with a lot of different leads and personalities. And so I got to meet a lot of great people and talk with all the different players. So I was running around a lot. I walked an average of about 6 miles a day. Most Wow. of that's going up and down stairs because the Age of Sigmar was down in the basement. And then one level up was 40K. And then it was the lobby. And then two floors up was where some of the smaller games like Warhammer Underworlds was, which I was running later in the evening. So I was doing a lot of staircase walking and just hanging out with people, checking out a lot of the armies throughout the con, the 40K stuff, kill team stuff, and then hanging out at the charity bar whenever I got a break, you know, grab a soda, hang out with someone, buy a beer for someone. So, but yeah, no. Not Age of Sigmar is luckily a really easy game to be a judge for. Not a lot of hard rules questions. I think most of the contentious stuff happens online, and by the time you get to the GT, most people have answered their contentious ruling questions, and so you kind of don't need to do much. I did help out with the paint judging, though. So Chuck had a really good system of just getting everybody set up their army on their tables and then sending out his little minions to go, you know, do parallel processing of every, like, I think there was like four paint judges at once to just go paint an army, bring back the results, so on and so forth. So we were able to get all that done. I think every army was judged by end of lunch in an hour. There's 97 players. So it was pretty efficient. But yeah, That's kind of how my day one went. Just a lot of running around, making sure everyone's got everything, make sure everyone's got drinks and food, and everything's running smoothly. What about you, Alex? How did your day one of the GT go?
Oh man, well, you know, with GTs, especially GTs that are in very typical hotel convention halls, and a lot of alcohol, which tends to happen at these type of events as well. I got in on Wednesday night. And I enjoyed every single night of Nova Open, the lovely rooftop bar, which is great for all of you guys who have not been there in the past or may not plan to be there in the future. But, you know, it's a gorgeous view of D.C. You can see the Capitol building. You can see the Washington Monument from an angle. But really, there's enough area for plenty of people to hang out. And there, you know, Nova staff had a free popcorn machine up for those who were drunk that wanted just to stuff something in their face, and which was me frequently. But yeah, they had a full Nova bar, and you know, it was a steal price wise compared to, you know, the average hotel bar. So it was a great time for people to get there and gather and have fun and meet new people. So, you know, leading up to day one of the GT, I got to meet a lot of fantastic people, the entirety of the Basement War Gamers in the you know, in your neck of the woods, Garrett. Those were fantastic people. I got to meet you know, meet Chuck, of course. Got to talk to old friends, new friends. It was a fun time. But, you know, with alcohol and with the air that is in these type of hotels, I always have to be really careful. I have to be careful no matter how much I try to practice my voice or try to strengthen my vocal cords, because I can get quite loud. I lose my voice pretty quickly, and that's the problem. You know, no matter, I'm still trying to find ways to strategize. You know, I think we talked a little bit, Vince and I, a little bit before the event, but I've been taking hints here and there. And then John gave me the great idea of trying to make sure that I can utilize mineral water ahead of time. I did not do that. So by the time we have our practice day, I was almost completely out of a voice. So, yeah.
True that, Alex. You were hoarse before the event started.
Exactly. So going into day one, I was not looking great. there was a bit going on there. But, you know, round one was, it was advantageous, John, that you and I played a practice game. So I was able to get to know Knife to the Heart with Skaven, because my local area doesn't really have a lot of Skaven, or at least a lot of Skaven that play a very particular competitive list. So round one, I play against Skaven, and that was a Derek Anderson. He was a great guy. It was a really good game. You know, it did end up with a major win for myself, you know, actually waiting and not going hyper aggressive against you, Skaven player turn one, ended up working out for me. So, you know, he had a lot of clan rats. He had three Vermin Lords, a Corruptor with the Sword of Judgment, a Deceiver, and the Warp Seer. He had a Gray Seer on Screaming Bell, which of course is going to be pretty standard. But he also had the Pendulum, Vortex, Vermintide, and he had the Gnashing Claws. So he had a lot of spells there and a lot of casters. And outside of stupidly jumping my Spirit Torment into combat with the Sword of Judgment Deceiver, I fared pretty well. And actually, that first round of combat, the Deceiver didn't kill my Spirit Torment, which was nuts. That did end up being a win for me. I then played a Tom Crowley turn two, or round two. He was, for our listeners who may have been at Nova, he had my favorite army of the entire event. He had a mixed order army. And to give you guys a little bit of a spoiler warning, I literally only played the entire GT against Skaven and mixed order. There was no variety besides that for me. But he had, you know, an Auric Rune Father, a Hurricanum, an Eidolon of Matlan, and a Tidecaster. He then had a unit of Longbeards, some Volkite Berserkers, Morsar Guard, and Hearthguard Berserkers. But the only units that were actual dwarves were his Longbeards, and they were slightly converted, but everything else was incredibly heavily converted. Or I guess the Morsar weren't really that converted, but not by comparison. You know, his Mathlan was kind of a mixture between the Celestine Prime and almost gave very heavily Saint Celestine from 40K style vibe. So it was like this giant angelic Primarch looking guy coming from the sky, and underneath him were two smaller kind of heavy armored angels by his side. So those were his fish attacks, the two little other angels. And you know, he made a great looking, it was like a Romanesque kind of theme. So all of his Volkites and all of his, and his Auric Rune Father were all not dwarves, but they were just kind of shirtless guys converted off of Khorne and Marauder style units. But they all had great looking, like Centurion and Hoplite looking helmets. It was really cool. Easily my favorite army. He had a great display board, definitely voted best appearance in my opinion. And then my third and final game was against our great co-host, Matthew Pashby. He is, much like Bigfoot, he is not often seen, but when he is, he comes in like a force to be reckoned with. And, Pashby is one of my secret sauces. Him and Jeremy are usually the ones that I end up losing to more often than not. It was a great game, and I wish he was here to tell you guys. It was a great game because it swung so heavily in my favor and then swung so heavily in his favor, it wasn't even funny. Turn one, I made seven charges, and I made all of my charges. And five of them were a 10-up. So immediately I...
Would you cheat? You got like broken dice there or something like that?
Okay, for the record, then I started rolling my own saves from the same dice. And pretty quickly you realized that was not the case. But immediately he's just kind of throwing his arms up going like, what the hell is going on? I pinned his entire army down besides his Tidecaster and some... I've already forgot their name, Thralls, that were off the board. But I basically, in a moment of two turns, end up taking out like two-thirds of his army. But it was shifting objectives. And this is where I regret not practicing shifting objectives. I was holding the middle and the left my left flank, but I completely ignored the right flank because I figured, well, I'm going to hold these two objectives, and he almost has no one on the board anymore. So I'm just going to hold these and slowly make my way to killing everything he's got. But it took a little longer to kill his Morsar than I'd like. It took way longer than I'd like, and they hit a lot harder than I would have hoped for. Outside of that, they actually completely whiffed their mortal wound ability. But, you know, three turns in a row, the priority objective was on the right-hand side, and he did a great job of, you know, masking my ability to get there by killing my Dreadblade Harrow pretty quickly, and then also, you know, preventing me from... Oh, actually, no, my apologies. He did not kill my Dreadblade Harrow, but he basically boxed me out by constantly getting me within 3 inches of my Harrow, so I couldn't teleport him till I killed the Morisar. But lo and behold, for the last three turns of the game, he kept on having just one Tidecaster and one, like, Ishlan with one wound left, narrowly touching the objective that was the priority, which is what he needed to win by 1 point. So it was a very close game, but he had told me, he had even told me from the get-go, you know, after turn three, I didn't think I was going to win that game. And even after turn five, I didn't think I was going to win that game. But he scraped it out, and got to give him mad props. It was an incredibly fun game. Yeah, that was my day one. But, you know, as we progress and as we continue to lose our voices, Nova got more and more fun. And with day two came a few hangovers, I'm sure, for many of us. But, you know, nothing that Excedrin, water, and a little hair of the dog couldn't help. You know, John, how is your day two?
Sure. Well, I will say that's easy for you to say, Alex. I myself distinctly remember looking at the clock and going, oh, it's 4 a.m. and I need to roll dice in a couple hours. So... I went and back to bed, and I did get those couple hours of sleep and dragged my butt down for day two, was there in time to drop dice. But boy, I was kind of hurting. I did a double espresso before my game. It wasn't enough. So day two, what can I say? Day one, I had went 2-1, so I did pretty good, and my loss was not a zero, so I knew I was in for some good players on day two. And my round four was against Mr. Jack Ballard and his Stormcast. And I'll come back to that in a minute. And my round five was actually against Mr. Theo Adams IV and his Gloomspite Gits. And it's funny, when we faced off against each other, Theo and I, on this last round, I looked him in the eye and I said, you know what? We deserve each other this last round. So he was rocking well over 100 models, I think 140, 150 Gloom Spite on the table. And of course, I had 160 models, as it were. And I did win that game for what it's worth. You know, it should be mentioned that Chuck Moore, the TO, had put out a great packet. Our last show a couple weeks ago, we did talk about the packet for Nova. And one of the things is that he did the same realm all day, each day. So the first day was all in Akrashi, the Realm of Fire. So I was able to plan for the spells, you know, like I definitely had some Stoke Rage and Inferno Blades going on day one. I tell you what, monks that are doing 2 and 3 wounds are pretty nasty. And then day two, we were in the Realm of Death. And again, there's some pretty nice, the spells themselves, meh, there's some okay ones, but the command abilities are worth noting. And so there's two command abilities. One of them is the soul Force Sacrifice. And basically what you can do is, at the start of your hero phase, you can pick a friendly unit that's within 3 inches of your general, and you can apply any number of wounds to that unit, and that's how many wounds your general is going to heal, okay? And this comes into play. The other one that's worth noting is Honor the Dead. And you can use this command ability at the start of any combat phase, right? Start of any combat phase. And basically, you pick a friendly unit within 3 inches of the general. You roll a dice. If that is less than the number of models that have been slain from that unit, you get one extra attack. And specifically, it says you add one to the attack's characteristic of the weapons used by that unit in that combat phase. So it's worth mentioning because I was, of course, bringing the Vermin Lord, you know, with his ability to give me extra command points. And of course, I have the ability to not use command points. Needless to say, by turn three in most of my games, I had at least five or more command points going. So this kind of comes into play here. So round four, I'm playing against Jack Ballard and his Stormcast Eternal. Now, Jack is a top player, top 20 in the ITC, often top 10 in the ITC.
Wait, hold on. I do want to interject here. He actually is top 10 currently.
Yeah, as I said, top 10, top 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So anyway, so currently top 10. Yeah, after his Nova performance, currently in the top 10, maybe was there before. Again, top player, Stormcast. Jack always brings the heat to the table. Nasty shooting Stormcast list. And to be honest, I played against Jack in the Rose City Wrath earlier in the year. So I already knew that he was a tough opponent, okay? So we came to the table, we knew each other, we shook hands, we got right into it. And, you know, I have a lot of models to move around, but I've been playing Pestilence and Hordes for as long as Age of Sigmar has been out. And, you know, this game being no exception, all of my games in the Nova went to turn five, so there is something to be said there. And so as Jack and I were going back and forth, and, you know, he does have that super shooty Vanguard Raptor unit. He does have himself some of the Aether Wings and what have you. And when he took the top of the turn and opened up with his shooting into my army that first turn, he annihilated both my Furnace and a unit of Monks. I think he didn't wipe out the entire unit of Monks, but boy, he put the hurt on them. So I knew that this, I was not going to have enough bodies to survive this entire game. If one, I didn't clear out some of his units, and two, I didn't play very tactically, very strategically. So we went through and we went back and forth, and he was killing the heck out of my army. But, you know, round four, Alex, was the focal points, right? That's the one where we have five objectives on the table. And if you can score pairs of two objectives or hold the center objective, there's a lot of extra scoring that's available on the table. So while Jack was busy shooting the heck out of my army for three full turns, I was busy holding at least three objectives and trying to deny objectives from him. So even though he was killing the heck out of my army, as we started and went into turn four, okay, and he did take the priority for turn four, I had more than twice his score. So I had pretty much ran away with this game. And we went into turn four, and once again, he shot the heck out of my army. Now, I had taken advantage of the Soul Force sacrifice, and at my Screaming Bell that it was down to just a couple wounds, I went ahead and healed it all the way back up to full health. Took the damage on some clan rats, no big deal, they just died away. So I had a full bell at that time, and I knew the game was tight. I knew I was in trouble. I had the Bell, I had the Vermin Lord Warp Seer, I had a full unit of 20 clan rats, and maybe 5 to 8 models from other clan rats and monk units scattered about the board. So I was pretty close to being tabled. And at that point, I was in a bad place, but to be honest with you, what I saw was that if I played things just right, I could hold out Jack off of the objectives and he wasn't going to be able to win. And I knew that this was possible, but I didn't see the solution. And I apologized to Jack after the game, and I will apologize right here publicly. I took too long on my turn four. I went into the bottom half of turn four, and we had 30 minutes left on the clock. 30 minutes. In fact, right as my turn started, right before my turn started, it was right at the end of Jack's turn, the judge yelled out loud, "Sage of Sigmar, 30 minutes remain," right? So I get in and I'm like, damn, I am on my back foot. I need to do this just right, and I think I can win. So I took 19 minutes for my turn. 19 minutes to play my turn four, to move things out, measure things exactly, set up some units that were actually going to do charges and pull his units away from objectives to guard some bands on other objectives. So I accomplished my turn, but man, that turn took a long time. 19 minutes, my friends, 19 minutes. So as we finished turn four, we looked and we had 11 minutes left. And Jack kind of basically said to me, like, dude, like, that took way too long. I'm like, fuck yeah, you're right. I took way too long. My head is thin. I'm hungover, but there's still no excuse. So we went to roll. And honestly, as we were going into turn five, had Jack won priority, I would have been happy with him taking the rest of the turn. We probably could have talked the turn out. And there was a small chance that he could pull off a win at that point, but it was super unlikely because of the way I had run away with objective points. However, we rolled top of turn five. I got priority on turn five. I rolled the screaming bell. The big nuke went off. I rolled it and I rolled really hot. I put three mortal wounds on some a character with one wound left, on a unit with one model left, and did that kind of nuked out half of his army because he too was hanging on with a model here, a wound there, or what have you. And so it was pretty amazing. And a drag out knuckle biter fight to the end between Jack and I. In the end, I was barely able to pull off a win as far as what was happening on the table, though from a points perspective, I had more than double his score on the table. So, hey, Jack, if you're listening, again, I apologize for taking so long on that turn. All's well that ends well. You're a great opponent. I look forward to our rubber band match next time. And that was it. After that, I played Theo in the last round, as I already mentioned, and I finished my Nova experience 4-1. I took 16th overall via ITC, and I took 14th via Nova's scoring rubric, which I think also includes paint or something. Is that right, Garrett? Is it paint that that changes the score? That's why I was 16th and 14th, right?
Paint and your etiquette score.
Oh, etiquette, of course. Yes, yes. Oof. So yeah, that was my day two. Alex, how did your day two go, man?
Yeah, well, you know, day two, I came into that relatively salty, and that was primarily because yet again I was playing against a teammate, and that teammate was James, which was good that I'd never played James before, so it was a welcome change for sure. But just wasn't happy about being paired with a teammate back to back, so that was something that has a little bit of soreness that still persists. However, you know, it was a very strange game. I was very hungover and I wasn't very easy to understand because my voice was fully gone. And then James was drinking till 4 a.m. So he was a little late to the game. There were a lot of distractions in the middle of the game. I was out of it. He was out of it. There was a lot of hugging involved mid-game to make sure that we both weren't mad at each other just because we were just completely not vibing whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. It was just a weird game. I think you would agree. It was just we were in two different worlds completely, and neither of those worlds were at Nova on the table. you know, much like we've talked about in the previous games about not getting too aggressive turn one against a Skaven player, I did get too aggressive and he took advantage of that. Pretty quickly, a lot of my things died, but I still tried to keep it in the game, which I was relatively confident that I could and maybe squeak out a minor loss. But pretty quickly, that didn't end up happening. So drinking too much ended up leaving me to make bad decisions and lose that game. So James deserves a much better rematch against me, but that made sure that no matter what, the best I could do would be 3-2. So I went and fought against another mixed order army. That was going to be Lincoln Tidwell or Tidwell. I'm probably saying one of those wrong. And he was a great guy. He was a local for Nova in the Nova area. He brought pretty much the same list as or similar list to my previous opponents, of course, Matthew and Tom. You know, there was a little bit of It was basically more Sargard, some other Idmeth, plus a little bit more sprinkled in. So, you know, it was a Tidecaster, three units of Thralls, Lord Ordinator, and the Hurricanum. But this also did include, quite a bit. It included the two Celestar Ballistas. He also brought two of the Highborn Reaper Bolt Throwers. And he also did bring one unit of three Ishlan Guard. And he had one Hunting Hound. And then he had some more Sargard. I believe he had six. Turn one, he nuked Rykonor. He put his two Celestars on one side of the table. And because it was Duality of Death, so that's some wonky deployment. And then he had two Highborn Sky Reaper Bolt Throwers on the other side of the table. I basically null deployed and put everything on one side of the table and just deep struck half my army, and then knew that I was going to do some teleporting shenanigans to bring basically two-thirds of my army on the opposite side of the table, which I did to my success. But, turn one, yeah, I gave him that turn because I wanted the double, which I got. But Rykonor did die. Those Sky Reaper Bolt Throwers having, I think, like 12 shots each with a plus one to hit near the Hurricanum. That was a mistake, but it was fun. You'll learn from that. Rykonor died, but then very quickly I swamped the objective. I swamped both objectives turn one. So it took him till turn three to even get one objective. And that of course was game, but he was a great player. He didn't quit when the end looked near. It was a fantastic game. His army was very pretty. The Sky Reaper Bolt Throwers, I will not forget them, and I will not put a blind eye to them. You know, it's going to be very, very important here. Looking over the event as in total, I don't know what my etiquette score was. But I believe I got 23rd overall, which was not what I was intending to have. But, I came in a little cocky anyways. So, my hubris got the better of me. But I did get 23rd overall. Not best death, not best anything. But it was still a fun game. It was great to see a lot of people and make new friends. And really, it was good to see great painted armies. Something I failed to mention just a moment ago is that our good friend James, he actually had one of the best display boards I had ever seen. It was a very simple display board. It actually wasn't what we would call pretty or aesthetically pleasing in any normal or above and beyond what we would normally say is a pretty nice display board that wasn't just a mat like I use. But he had a great little water feature on it, and it was the Fountain of Youth. And his Fountain of Youth was Margarita. So that was pretty fun.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was great. It took a lot of people by surprise.
To be fair, on day two, I went to go get a sip out of that, and there were some paint flakes floating around in the margarita mix. I decided to pass.
I'm pretty sure high strength alcohol is a paint thinner.
Yeah, and right.
So when you put high strength alcohol in a container that has acrylic paint in it, I believe some of that acrylic paint will leave the thing it is attached to and go into the liquid. So maybe not the best of ideas at the end of the day, but it looked really cool. I believe he called it the essence of Warpstone because it had a little green tint to it due to the margarita mix.
Oh, nice.
So,
yeah, it was really fun, and that wasn't the only one. I know that in 40K, someone had on their display board a big like Necromunda silo, and I think it was like a mini keg. So it's great to see that theme. A lot of ingenuity and extra hobby work put in to give some people some nice beverages or some beverages with some paint on it. One or the other. You're either poisoning your opponent or you're giving them a real good time, or both. Who knows?
Depends on what color paint he used, really.
There you go. Yeah.
Probably safe as long as it wasn't orange or yellow.
Okay. Now, Garrett, how was your day two? I know that, of course, you were making the whole machine run, but tell us a little bit about that.
So my day two was incredibly busy. So for Thursday through Saturday, I was running the Warhammer Underworlds Grand Clash, but it was in, and then Sunday was it as well, but the Thursday through Saturday games were in the evening so people could enjoy the con, play in other events, and then also enjoy the Grand Clash as sort of like a side event. But Sunday, it was 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., three rounds, and so I was very busy running that in the afternoon. In addition, I was running around making sure that all of the events were finalized and getting their final results in, and everything was going well. So I was kind of like making sure everything ended correctly and making sure everything was going smoothly while also running a Grand Clash. Luckily, I had a nice little helper who was able to do most of the judge calls while I was running around. So that was very handy, local out here, Austin. But honestly, it was really cool, I think, at the end of the weekend to see you guys come out all the way from the West Coast and end up interacting and playing with a lot of the locals out here, like Lincoln. He's I believe he's up in Maryland, but I play him regularly, like maybe once or twice a month. I actually played that exact list that you played, Alex, during some practice games for War Games Con. And then Theo, really great guy. He's a local out here. I've played him a couple of times in my basement. Yeah, so it was really nice to have you guys come out here and kind of interact with the local scene that we've had out here. It's fun to see the different styles and metas kind of collide into one big scene and see what type of lists come out up top, because I know you guys kind of have your own thing going out there and we have our own thing going out here, and I think that kind of morphs the idea of like what is a powerful list based off what we play in our local meta, and we don't really get to see how those start to interact until these large events like this and LVO and things. So that was really exciting for me to have you guys kind of all come out here and really get to see how all the different army styles played out. I feel like you guys brought things that really surprised a lot of people out here, and they had a lot of things that may have been surprising for you guys out there.
Oh, but that's very true.
Yeah. So, but overall, yeah, it was a really long, stressful day. And honestly, by 6 o'clock, right before the awards ceremony, I was just about ready to curl up in bed and go to sleep. I had a lot of long days of waking up at 6 or 7 in the morning and being a judge TO/tech support for most of the day, and then running a Warhammer Underworlds GT Grand Clash until 10 p.m. So basically from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. I was working, and then I'd grab a quick bite to eat and make it in bed by midnight. So I did that Thursday through Saturday. So I was pretty exhausted by Sunday after running around. Sunday I was running from the third floor down to the basement probably about 12 times. So that's what, 5 stories of stairs because the elevators weren't working. Uh-huh. Over the course, like 13 times. So that was, got a lot of exercise, really exhausted. And then, so just got through the awards ceremony and then basically took a trip home and passed out. So it was really exciting to pass out.
and woke up like yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was funny. You're telling me, John, that's like, you know, you young folk have probably already recovered. Honestly, this is the first day that I'm probably like not exhausted. I'm just right there with you, John, where I am barely recovered after a long weekend of Nova gaming, and I'm really actually excited for 2 months of no major events and just taking 2 months off. Whoa. And hanging out with my wife.
2 months of no major events? There's SoCal Open right around the corner.
I can't go to SoCal Open because that is my anniversary, my wedding anniversary. So I will not be going to SoCal Open.
That's probably a good idea.
You did not plan this well, Garrett.
Hey, you know what? It's Reese's fault for planning SoCal Open on my wedding day.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I blame him too.
I also would like to mention, Alex was saying about losing his voice. He did a wonderful job of trying to sell some people some Frontline Gaming mats.
On Reese's behalf.
On Reese's behalf with his wonderful Reese impression.
I think
he really did though.
I gotta say, it was pretty funny. At the rooftop bar, I think I was talking to Jack, and I think Reese heard me, and he comes up behind me. And he's like, "You sound like me." And I was like, "I know, yeah." Or I guess I was like, "I know." Like, Oh man, that was fun. Yeah, it was a great time. It was great to show my brother a little bit of what we do, and he really liked it. You know, he's really into Magic the Gathering, so got to play a few games of Magic with him and see him get really stoked on telling me all about his themed decks and all this. So, you know, a little bit of here, a little bit of there. So we'll see if he gets back into, you know, into this type of hobby, though. So we'll have to find that out. All in all, yeah, Nova was a fantastic event. There was so much to do. There's so much to see. It was the 10th anniversary. It was a fantastic time. It was a great way for me to celebrate my birthday with my twin and everyone else that I wanted to spend time with. And yeah, went 3-2. Not exactly what I would have hoped for, but at least I lost only to teammates and only to one teammate that is not from that region, someone that's in my region. So, you know, it's still something that was a little interesting to me and I found kind of funny. But unless it's Jeremy or a teammate, I end up losing those or winning games outside of those ones.
Salty Alex.
Yeah, just a little bit of salt.
Hey, Alex, you did better than me. I went 0-1.
That's of your own choosing. I guess I chose to lose. Too, but, I mean, yeah, you also chose to build the app the way you did, but we love you for it. John, what were some of your final thoughts on Nova?
Sure, Alex. Well, first off, Nova, I have only the most amazing things to say about this event. This is the second time that I've been to Nova. This is the first time I've competed in anything at Nova. Especially for those of us out on the West Coast, it's a long trip out to DC. If you make the trip, make sure you spend an extra day or two there to check out the Capitol and all the other cool stuff. I myself actually got out into Virginia a little bit and found a pretty awesome Peruvian steakhouse and some other cool stuff like that that I got to enjoy. Great food, great people. And then there's the Nova Open itself, 10th anniversary, 10 years strong. That says a lot about it. It is a charity centric event, and so that certainly lends kind of an air to the overall event. So right off the bat, I want to recognize Mike Brandt and his family. It's almost needless to say that without their efforts, Nova wouldn't happen. Mike's family and run the charity bar upstairs. They're the people that you meet you and greet you everywhere you go. And basically, he and crew create an amazing, positive environment. Even if you don't want to go to game, go and take the hobby classes or any of that. Highly, highly recommended. Again, Mike, thank you very much. You're a scholar. You're a gentleman. I always enjoy the time that you take to that we take to talk a little bit while I'm there. So it's good to talk to you again. After that, I want to recognize Chuck Moore, the head TO for the Age of Sigmar Championships. Chuck, you ran an amazing event right from having the tournament packet, which was well put together, well written, available months ahead of time so we could practice and plan. No surprises. Solid judging throughout the event. Nice event, ran on time. After the award ceremony, we were up in the charity bar, and Chuck and I grabbed a drink together, took some time to talk. I'm glad we did, brother. I look forward to seeing you next time. I look forward to rolling some dice with you because you're a solid guy, and I appreciate everything you've done. I want a little shout out to my friend Martin Orlando. Hey, Martin, it was good to see you. I appreciate how you're giving me a hard time at the table. It's okay when one of the head TOs comes around and is ribbing you on each round. I enjoyed it, and it's good to see you, brother. We'll see you next time. After that, a big, huge shout out to my teammates, Mr. Garrett Mulroney, Mr. Alexander Gonzalez, Mr. Matthew Pashby, and of course, for me, the champion of the weekend, my now super good friend, James O'Brien. We were friends before, but James, you are rock for me at Nova. You are the voice of sanity, and I definitely look forward to the next time we have a chance to hang out and maybe even share some more war stories, as it were. Other than that, it's always good to go to Nova, see a lot of friends. Of course, Joe Cryer, one of my favorite people out there. Joe, it was awesome to see you. Sorry that I didn't take the time to hang out with you on Monday, buddy. I just was wanting to get out of on my own old guy stuff. Congratulations on taking Best Chaos. Well-deserved, well-earned. Other than that, Mike Vaginos, good to see you. Eric Scrivens, Christopher Bergman, good to see all you guys.
Got we're going to have the music.
Oh, there should be some music. Whatever. I also want to shout out to Matthew Barker, a local listener from the area. Hey, it was fun. I wish we would have rolled some dice together, dude, but it was fun playing next to you and talking. Hopefully you're listening to this. Of course, my good buddy Reese Robbins, Frankie G and Papa. Good to see you guys. Justin Kiefer, all of you. And probably not listening, but it was nice to see you also, Oscar Lars. You guys wouldn't know this, but Oscar Lars, who won Best Painted at the Nova Open Age of Sigmar GT, is actually the first person that I ever played a large game of 40K against. I think we got like 1,500 points or 1,750 was popular at the time, and he is actually my very first opponent ever. So it was really nice to see him and reconnect. And finally, my co-hosts, I want to recognize my opponents for the weekend. Mr. Doug Taylor, Joshua Keel, look forward to checking out your YouTube channel and podcast. Andrew Simmons, your Nurgle army is amazing. I can't wait to see what you do with the theme. Looking forward to it, buddy. Of course, Jack Ballard, a gentleman and a scholar. Till next time, my friend. And my last round, and probably one of the coolest people I met at the entire event, Mr. Theo Adams IV. I wish you luck with your Gloom Spite, and but not luck when you face my Skaven again. So just remember, monks with 7 attacks, hitting on 3s with rerolls, wounding on 3s with rerolls. Do not charge that unit. Do not charge that unit. And that is all I have to say. Nova, again, thank you. My teammates, thank you. Everybody, thank you. It was awesome.
Thank you, John. Now, Garrett, what were your thoughts?
That's it, John. Nothing more.
No. I cut it short because fucking Alex was giving me shit, so whatever.
Okay.
I just want to, you know, I want to talk real quick about reasons you should go to Nova last bit. It's a fantastic event, wonderful staff. Everyone's there having a great time. And ultimately, it is all for charity. I forgot to hear what number they rose for charity year, but it's in the, I believe, in the tens of thousands of dollars. Honestly, as far as if you're here for the competitive edge, as many of you listeners are, as far as Age of Sigmar goes, it is probably the second largest event you can attend for the ITC, right behind LVO. So if you have any interest in actually winning many of the ITC awards, Nova Open is probably a must go to make sure you get maximize your point totals and get out there and get your major events in. 40K side, it's again up there as one of the largest events in the world. And it's got a lot of other great things going for it. The Capital Palette Painting Competition and silent auctions are great ways to see some really, really wonderfully painted armies and maybe get some of your stuff paint judged and get in painting competitions as well. So it's just got a lot of well-roundedness going for it. And it's an absolutely fun event in a really fun place, DC. So hopefully we can get more people coming out here, and we are hoping to expand more and more. We just need to make sure we have the space. And so, yeah, everybody come out to Nova. It'll be a great time in about a year from now.
Perfect. And, you know, with my final thoughts, again, it was a great time. And John basically said everything, as well as Garrett. Beautiful words, albeit long.
Did you remember to clench your butt cheeks, Alex? Because I sure did, and my back was not sore all weekend.
Totally, man. Yeah, it super works. Yeah, lift with your legs, and also clench your butt when you lean over, man. That's all you need. That's all you got to do. Before we say farewell to our listeners for the night, is there anything that we'd like to promote? How about you, Garrett? Let's start with you.
I am taking 2 months off from any major events. So I guess in local terms, I might try to attend Oscar Lars's Battlegrounds tournaments. They usually they run a monthly one. And then there's also the Game Garrison in Fredericksburg RTT that I'll probably try to attend depending on schedule. But otherwise, we'll see what happens between now and LVO.
How about you, John?
Sure. You know, I have my eye on the Winter Wars. December 21st, later this year, GT at Game Castle Mountain View. We're going to have Winter Wars 4. It's going to be amazing. I hope to see all of you out there.
Perfect. And for myself, I, you know, outside of trying to prepare for SoCal Open and a few other events that are going to be happening in the Pacific Northwest, the next one that I am going to actually be preparing for, and for our listeners who are in the Pacific Northwest or also enjoy Bellingham, Washington, pardon me, there is going to be a pardon me.
Wow.
There is going to be an event in on the first weekend of October. It's just going to be an Age of Sigmar tournament. It is going to be at Dark Tower Games. It's called the Champions Cup on October 5th and 6th. It is going to be a typical type of GT. They already got all the rounds up. They have a very simple tournament packet. Not a lot there, but I think this might be their first time running things. I don't think the event is on Best Coast Pairings yet, but I have been hounding the TO to do so. So all of you guys, look for the GT, the Champions Cup, Warhammer Age of Sigmar tournament on, say, Facebook for now, or try creating a Dark Tower Games a call. But I am going to make sure that they can try to put that BCP event up as soon as possible. That being said, we were really glad to enjoy Nova. And for all you listeners out there that were at Nova, I hope we were able to meet you or at least share a drink with you. For John, Garrett, and myself, Alex, we are signing off. Have a great evening.
Later.
Night.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.